It's Sunday in Mexico. The sun floods an arena. The historic duel is on. The sun spotlights a diver at Acapulco. Referees a children's game at the pyramids of Teotihuacan. The sun warms a beautiful mermaid in Puerto Rico and covers the vacation paradise of Miami. Every year, more people choose this one to the sun because Eastern Service is as warm as the destination.
Welcome, Eastern family and friends. We're coming to you live from our five satellite studios with our 55th broadcast, episode number 55. Once again, we are coming to you from Jacksonville, Florida, West Palm Beach, Florida, Delray Beach, Florida, Grand Junction, Colorado, and Roaring Gap, North Carolina. Your hosts for tonight's 55th broadcast are Margaret Bars, Bud Hescock, Neil Holland, and Howard Mucci in Jacksonville, Jan Boskai in Delray Beach, Bill Joseph in Grand Junction, Steve Thompson in Roaring Gap, North Carolina, and me, Jim Hart, in West Palm Beach.
And Jim Hart, we do have Chuck Albright that's coming to us from down in the Villages just south of Ocala.
Thank you. And during last week's show, the crew flew a Douglas DC-8B 21 aircraft for Eastern's Massey Ferguson Dealers and Distributors Convention held in Mexico City. What a great flight and fun for all the crew originating out of Atlanta, Georgia. We continue in this episode with the crew's layover and departure back to Atlanta with a stop in New Orleans for clearance through customs. Our EAL radio show tries to include different aircraft and true stories for these Eastern radio broadcasts. Just what is Eastern Talk Radio? Eastern company news, employee news and interviews, aviation drama and fun skits, Eastern history, Eastern music, Eastern organizations and chapter news, an online weekly newsletter, and much, much more. Our website even has a page on the website for those wanting to post their business cards. This is all for and about Eastern people and Eastern friends. If you have listened to our past shows, you know that we can be reached online during our live broadcast. Our numbers, once again, are 213-816-1611 or toll-free at 877-572-1861. Let me repeat those numbers. 213-816-1611 or toll-free 877-572-1861. Remember, when calling the show, make sure you press the number one button on your telephone to connect with the show.
Over the past year, we've delivered and archived over 54 hours of live Eastern radio talk, which we thought would be of interest and entertainment to our Eastern family and friends. We've listed a description of our favorite broadcasts by episode numbers and placed them on the website for your quick review, as to those you might want to play. So please go to the radio episode page at the top of our website, and that is www.ealradioshow.com. Now, we're in the process of burning all episodes onto a CD and making them available to our members. We'll keep you posted on when they'll be available.
Margaret, just before Bill, just want to say that those CDs have been burned, and we have three copies now. And anyone wanting one of the copies, it goes from series episode 1 to 49, and then we'll be adding more. But we do have them available, and if you would like to have one, just let us know. Just email us, and we'll send one right out to you. Bill?
And dealers and distributors had arrived at the Mexico airport, and the crew members have all been taken to their layover hotel, the beautiful Maria Isabel Hotel in downtown Mexico City. Mr. Jim Hart and Mr. Chuck Albright are also with the crew. Jim Hart is the company coordinator for the entire eastern operation of this charter, and Chuck Albright is the maintenance supervisor for the operations. Let's now join flight attendant Luann Wiggins as she just enters the hotel's majestic lobby.
Well, kiss my grits. Wow, they ain't got nothing like this back home in Hazard, Kentucky. As a matter of fact, they ain't got nothing like this in the whole state of Kentucky.
Wait till you see your room, Luann. You'll definitely want to sleep with the lights on just to see how beautiful it is. Like they say in those radio commercials, when you turn the lights off to a hotel room, they all look the same.
Guys and gals. What do you say we all meet down in the lounge, say in about an hour from now?
Neil, didn't you say you know a Mexican Airlines captain here in Mexico City that might want to show us around?
Yeah, Steve, and as soon as I get to my room, I'm going to give him a call. Maybe he can join us in the lounge and then have dinner with us tonight. You'll really like this guy. Sure hope he's not out on a trip.
What's his name, and is he married?
Luann, I figured you'd say that. Yes, he's married, Luann, and his name is Captain Hector Santamaria. I'll see you guys in the lounge a little bit later.
Do you mind if I join you guys? I don't check in until tomorrow, so I can have at least a cerveza and dinner with you, if that's okay with you.
I hope we're all one big family, the Eastern family. I'd like to come down and join you also.
Of course. We're all going to enjoy this layover. See you in the lounge. Don't start without me.
The crew and guests are now seating around a large corner booth in the Jorongo Lounge of the Maria Isabel Hotel. Reservations have been made for later in the beautiful Amiti Restaurant Outdoor Terrace for dinner under the stars. Let's join in as they plan their activities for the next day.
Neil, were you able to get in touch with your friend, Mexicana Captain?
Yeah, Jan, and he should be here in a few minutes. Yeah, Jan, I sure did, and I was a little bit too far away from you there, but I see you're sitting right next to me. Let's order some drinks, and I see a vacant chair there for Captain Hector Santamaria. Let's keep it vacant for him. You'll like this gentleman, I'm sure. Oh, just a minute. I think he just walked in. Let me go over and invite him over.
Great.
My room is beautiful. Did you see the bath towels? They look like huge fluffy sheets. Even a bathrobe. I gotta have one of them.
Folks, let's go around the table and individually introduce ourselves to Captain Santamaria.
Captain, I'm Captain Bud Hescock. I'm the pilot commander of this trip.
And Captain, hi, I'm Steve Thompson, the first officer on the trip.
Hi, Captain. I'm Margaret Barr, senior flight attendant.
Hi, Captain. I'm Jan Butchka E., flight attendant on board.
Hey, Captain, I'm Luann, senior flight attendant on Air Kentucky, and I do a lot of also being a senior attendant on Eastern Airlines. It's so nice to meet you.
Glad to have you with us, Captain. My name is Jim Hart.
My name is Chuck Albright. I'm maintenance supervisor for this trip.
All introductions have been made, and Captain Santamaria tells the group of his career with Mexicana and about living in Mexico City.
Now, what I want to suggest to you is that the first thing tomorrow morning, we meet here for breakfast. Say around 8 o'clock.
Did you say 8 in the morning? Why, Captain, no civilized person on the face of the earth goes to bed the same day they're getting up. And by the way, girls from Kentucky, we require at least 5 minutes more. I'm just getting started with my good dreams at that time of morning. Luann, I know just the thing that'll open your eyes that time of morning. Oh, for heaven's sakes, Margaret, what is it? Try an alarm clock, Luann. Set it at 7. We'll see you at 8.
Well, let me tell you the rest of our day. First thing we'll do is to go to Zócalo. This is the plaza that surrounds the center, which usually contains the church, government offices, buildings, and such. The Zócalo downtown is around 10 miles. This area, with the Templo Mayor, is some of the oldest entire city, which founded in 1524. After it launched at one of the oldest arts in the world, the opera, which has very European feel, style to it, with great drinks, food, and atmosphere. It also has a bullet hole made by Pancho Villa. After eating, we spend the remainder of the day of the Museum of Anthropology, called Museo de Antropología e Historia, which is a huge 4,000 square foot museum showing the prehistory of a country and one of the oldest Aztec calendars, plus much more. Now, before sunset, we drive to see some Chapultepec Park, which is 500 acres. Actually, the Museum of Anthropology is located in the area of the park. In the interior of the park, there is a lush green forest and century-old trees, picnickers everywhere, canoes, and then a huge lake. And then I will take you to Los Pinos, which is where the presidents make their home. This evening, we will dine at La Fonda de San Miguel, a traditional Mexican restaurant, beautiful and elegant courtyard. The restaurant is in former convent of Santa Teresa. We will have a delicious meal of shrimp, chile, and mole poblano. All our dinner is fresh and traditional Mexican food. You'll not have to worry about by you folks for American call.
I know this one. It's called Monty's Revenge or something like that.
Luann, let's not go there.
You will be tired at the end of the day as the elevation is over 7,000 feet.
Captain, we do have a two-day layover here before we start back to Atlanta. Could you suggest an itinerary for the following day?
Since you will be spending 2 days here, I suggest that the next day we again enjoy breakfast in the hotel, and I will drive us about an hour outside of the city to go visit the pyramids of Teotihuacan for a day. Teotihuacan actually means place where the gods were born. The Aztecs actually believed that the start of the universe was in this spot. We also discovered that the ruins at the one time had around 200,000 people living in the community. The area was the center of commerce and culture. The inhabitants constructed the pyramids and the sun and the moon on an area around 12 miles. Around 1 century AD, volcano erupted and caused the diminish of the area. After spending a couple hours over the pyramids, we will have lunch of the pyramids and an interesting restaurant inside of the cave called La Gruta, where you will be fascinated to be actually in cave having lunch. ¿Alguna otra sugerencia? Any talks of my ideas?
Captain, it sounds great to me. For the last night we are together, I suggest, since we're all worn out, we just have dinner and drinks at the hotel. All the drinks on me.
Hey, that sounds great.
Yeah, well, for that.
Yeah. How about we order something to drink now? Captain Bud, you said something about your favorite drink in all of Mexico. What did you call it?
Well, when it goes by the same name in the States, it's called tequila. You better let me order one before you order. You may not appreciate the little extra that comes with it.
Yeah, I have one of those, too. I hope it has the real thing in it.
Jan, do you know what the heck these fellers are talking about?
I want to go there, Luann. Or I don't want to go there. I only drink wine, so I'll look their wine list over. one reason why I don't drink is that I want to know what I'm having, when I'm having a good time.
Hey, count me in for the tequila. I like to see the little guy drink. Actually, it only takes me one drink to get me pretty little tipsy. Trouble is, I can't remember if it's the 13th or the 14th.
There you go.
The drinks have been ordered and arrive at the table. Luann is all eyes when she sees the little worm at the bottom of the bottle.
Lord have mercy, is that what I think I see? Oh, yuck, it's a worm.
Yes, Luann, but it hasn't drank much. Only a small amount, you see the empty at the top of the bottle. But I suppose he'll pass it right back into the bottle. Luann, a woman drove me to drink, and I'll never, ever have the courtesy to thank her.
I don't drink. I don't like it. It makes me feel good. Someone once told me that a man is never drunk if he can lie on the floor without holding on.
I have made an important discovery. Alcohol, taken in sufficient quantities, produces all the effects of intoxication.
Hey, guys, I think we need to change the subject here to maybe the preferred subject for me. Captain, you made a great approach and landing today. And the airport elevation here is over 7,000 feet, and you sure use a lot of runway. And I guess that's why they have over a runway of over 12,000 feet.
Yeah, you're going to need it when you're going back. Sure hope it's not a hot day when we...
Why is that, Captain?
Well, not only because the high altitude, but the temperature has a negative effect in both combined causes. The air to be a lot less dense, thus causing airplanes to use more distance in a landing and takeoff.
Oh, I guess that's the same reason I was out of breath just walking up the stairs here at the hotel when we arrived.
Yes. And if we walk up to the pyramids, you will notice it even more. Luann, do you understand the principle?
The principle? I'm still trying to understand the principle of that there little worm in the bottle. I'm trying to see if he's been drinking any of that there tequila. You know, they sure don't put worms in our Kentucky bourbon, or most importantly, they don't put it in our moonshine for that matter. I'm just perplexed.
Damas y caballeros, may I recommend that we dine tonight at San Angelin. It is an old Carmelite monastery convent in a cover to the extraordinary restaurant, famous for its international cuisine. It dates back to the 17th century.
Captain Hector, I just want to ask you again, are you sure you're hitched? I mean, are you like married or anything? Because you sure are a handsome feller.
Luann, what's this? I thought we had something going. Is that the way all you Kentucky girls are? Tickled?
Yes.
The returning dealers and distributors going back to Atlanta have boarded the plane. The crew goes through the checklist, and the gate agent has handed over all the paperwork for the flight, including the passenger manifest for customs clearance in New Orleans.
Hey, Bud, the ATIS has us departing runway 23 right, and we have our clearance.
Okay, Neil, call ground crew. Tell them we're ready to start. Let's go through the checklist, please. Jim and Chuck, are you guys fastened in? And I'm sure you know how to use the oxygen masks.
Yes.
Yes, Neil. Give us the briefing, and we're all set to go.
Okay, ground, we're ready to start all four.
Okay, we've got the signal from ground crew that we're cleared to start. Let's go below the line and crank them up.
Okay, the start-up checklist. Thrust levers.
They're idle.
Engine area.
It's all clear.
External power light.
It's illuminated.
Battery switch, move to?
External power position.
And the start and ignition switch.
And the arm position.
Okay, let's call the ground support. They're ready for starting engine 3. And if you'll push the mechanics call button, we'll push it in. Push the start button, number 3 start button.
It's pulled.
Okay, the button should illuminate.
It's checked to illuminate.
And we have N2 starts to rise slowly. I see it.
And I checked it.
Okay, and N2 is greater than 15%. Let's see if we get a fuel cutoff lever. Engine number 3.
It is on.
And at over 35%, push number 3 start button.
It's off.
Okay, I hear the engine starting. Let's call ground support to disconnect external power. Ground, we're ready to start 4, 2, and 1. And let's see, Captain, if you'll move the throttle lever number 3 up to achieve 30 to 32 PSI, we'll have enough air pressure to start.
All right, I'm showing 80% N2. Go ahead with the start.
Okay, start remaining engines in sequence 4, 2, and 1. Okay. Looks like to me we've got them all running, and reconfirming, Captain, we've got 60,000 pounds of fuel on board.
That's good.
Mexico ground, Eastern 55. We have our clearance, and we're ready to taxi.
Eastern Charlie Fly 55, you are cleared to taxi to runway 23 right. Wind 110 at 8 knots. Do you get the latest 80s?
Yes, sir, we do. We have Lima and understand clear to runway 23 right.
That's affirmative, Easter 55.
Okay, guys, let's do the before takeoff checklist.
Okay. Steve, I'll read it, and if you'll respond. Before takeoff checklist, parking brakes.
It's set.
Throttle.
Idle.
Elevator trim.
Set for takeoff.
Flaps.
15 degrees.
Spoilers.
Retracted.
Flight instruments.
They're checked.
Engine instruments.
Checked.
Takeoff data card.
Is checked.
Okay. We've got our speeds. And nav lights, nav equipment lights. Nav and equipment,
they're checked.
I'm sorry. Okay. Landing lights.
They're on.
Taxi lights.
They're off.
Strobe light.
They're on.
PDOT heat.
Is on.
Anti-ice.
It's as required off.
And the transponder.
It is on.
Okay, we're ready for takeoff.
Mexico Tower, Eastern 55, ready for takeoff.
Is there 55, taxi in position and hold. You have got landing Mexican traffic that will be clearing the runway momentarily.
Roger, sir. Position and hold, Eastern 55.
Eastern 55, you are cleared to take off. Wind now 200 at 10 knots.
Thank you, sir. We're on the roll.
Steve, it's all yours. Take us back to Atlanta via New Orleans, okay?
Okay, bud. Thanks. And if you'll please call out the speeds.
Yes, sir. We'll do it.
After a smooth takeoff and initial climb out, the Mexico Tower calls Eastern 55.
Eastern 55, contact departure 119.85. Adios. Have a great trip to the north.
Eastern Charter Flight 55 has reached cruising altitude of flight level 330, and the captain has asked First Officer Steve to turn the no smoking and seatbelt sign off and to make the welcome aboard announcement.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm First Officer Steve Thompson, speaking to you on behalf of Captain Bud Hescott, Second Officer Neil Holland, and the entire crew to welcome you aboard our flight to Atlanta, Georgia. And we're expecting a smooth ride, and we'll turn off the no smoking and fasten seatbelt sign so you may move about the cabin as you wish. We'll be landing in New Orleans to clear customs. We'll be on the ground in New Orleans only long enough to clear customs and reload our baggage, and we'll be departing for Atlanta. Our flying time to New Orleans is 2 hours and 23 minutes, and this should have us arriving at 11:45 Central Time. Now, you may wish to set your watches forward 1 hour to the correct East Coast time in Atlanta. We have leveled at our cruising altitude of 33,000 feet. And to our friends in Mexico, we say, mucho gracias y hasta luego. As we depart their northeast coast, line just below us at Tampico, and we'll proceed out over the Gulf of Mexico directly to Grand Isle, Louisiana, where we'll come inland on the U.S. coast, and then after that, just a few minutes, we'll be touching down at the New Orleans airport. Now, as we proceed out over the Gulf, our furthest point from land will be about 152 miles south of Corpus Christi. And a late check of the current weather in New Orleans is just a few scattered clouds and a temperature of 68 degrees. And the forecast for our arrival in Atlanta is beautiful, clear skies, 72 degrees. Now, please sit back and enjoy your flight and the fine service our senior flight attendant, Margaret Bars, and her excellent crew will provide you.
Eastern 55, this is Atlanta Center. You're cleared to descend and to maintain flight level 230 at your discretion. Altimeter is 30.01.
Roger, Atlanta Center. We understand altimeter 3001. We're leaving flight level 330 for flight level 230.
Eastern 55, contact Atlanta Approach on 121.3 at this time.
Roger, 121.3, we're going over. Have a nice day. Atlanta Approach, Eastern 55. We're leveling flight level 230. We have information, Lima.
Roger, Eastern 55. Turn right to a heading of 090. Descend to and maintain 3,000. This will be a vector to a visual for runway 27 left. Let me know when you have the runway in sight.
Roger, we're going to right turn heading 090, descend to maintain 3,000. This will be vectors for 27 left. We'll call. We'll let you know when we have the runway in sight. We're out of flight level 230 for 3,000, and we're still looking for the runway.
It's a beautiful day in Atlanta, and the cabin crew finishes their passenger briefing. And the big DC-821 is now entering the traffic pattern at the Atlanta airport.
Atlanta Approach, Eastern 55, we got the runway in sight. We're leveling 3,000.
Roger, Eastern 55, contact Atlanta Tower on 119.9. Have a great day.
Okay, we're going over 19.9, and thanks. And you have a nice day. Oh, by the way, it's nice hearing more lady controllers these days.
Thanks, and great talking with you, sir.
Atlanta Tower, Eastern 55 with you. We have runway 27 left in sight.
Roger, Eastern 55. We got you in sight. The wind is 250 at 10 knots. Altimeter is 30.01. You're clear to land at 27 left.
Roger, clear to land, runway 27 left. Okay, Steve, all the passengers, I've told all the passengers that you told me that you were a good lander, so don't disappoint them. I've heard that you get the second officer some grease on the tires. Is that true?
All right, bud, if you're trying to put some pressure on me, it worked. But I intend to get great applause from the cabin.
And as Steve called it, a round of applause can be heard from the cabin. The aircraft taxis to the gate. The passengers deplane as the first officer stands at the doorway receiving the attaboys. It's a successful trip for the crew, Jim Hart and Chuck Albright, and more importantly, Eastern Airlines.
Folks, tonight's cast included Captain Bud Hescock, Hescock, First Officer was Steve Thompson, Second Officer Neil Holland, Senior Flight Attendant Margaret Bars, Flight Attendant Jan Butchkai. Luann was played by Margaret Bars, Narrator Bill Joseph, Marketing Manager Jim Hart, and the Atlanta Air Traffic Controller is also played by Jan Butchkai. And Atlanta Tower was played by Chuck Albright, Maintenance Supervisor Chuck Albright. And the Mexico Air Traffic Controllers, Hector Santamaria, and Captain Santamaria, played by himself, Captain Hector Santamaria. And a special thanks to Jim Hart, who gave us the material for this great charter story in Eastern's past history. It was his and Eastern's true story. The events of the crew are based on the many adventures of the Eastern crews flying for many years into Mexico City and enjoying all of the beauty and the extra benefits that go along with our job. After all, somebody had to do it. Margaret, do you have any announcements?
I do, Neil. EAL listeners, let us know what you would like to hear on this radio show. After all, it is your show. And if you have a favorite experience or an Eastern story and you want us to take a look at it for a possible radio show, please send us an email and we'll get with you for further information.
You know, forgive me for interrupting here, but we gave our phone number at the beginning of the show, and I found that this weekend, weeks past, we get so involved in the program, we forget to give the number out a second time and third time. So I'm going to do it tonight. If you want to become part of this and you want to get involved in the conversation with us, give us a call at 1-213-816-1611. I'll say it again, 1-213-816-1611. Or if you're calling long distance, want to call toll-free, it's 1-877-572-1861. I'll say that again, 1-877-572-1861. If you do dial and you want to talk to us, just press 1 on your phone. We'll see your number pop up here, and we'll be happy to talk to you about anything. So give us a call.
For our club members, remember, we have notified all of our club members. We've notified all of our club members that we've sent out the 2012 dues of $10 to continue on the website and to continue this radio show. Please pay by submitting the amount on the website's homepage where you see donations and membership. Or you might want to go to the document page and copy the membership application and send it the old-fashioned way to the address shown. We need your support to continue. We're having fun, and we hope you are, too. Jim, do you have
Yes, I do, Neil. Get your business or service out to our members. We now have a page that you can share your business card to all of our members. Just send by mail or email it to us in a JPEG file, and we'll be happy to post it on the website. Go to the page and check it out.
We didn't have much time last trip to talk with Captain Santamaria, but we can do that now if it's okay with you to answer a few questions we might direct over to your side of the table, Hector.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Shoot. Now, you said earlier you were born right there in Mexico City.
Yeah.
I won't ask the year because it probably dates back to the Aztecs pyramids, doesn't
it? Yeah, that's right.
You sure look good for your age.
Thank you.
But now you went with Mexicana. Were you with any other airline before that? Did you fly with the service there in Mexico?
Well, I started flying when I was 17 years old, and I started flying at the Mexican Air Force.
Okay. At 17?
At 17 years old.
Yeah,
that's correct.
Yeah.
And after that, I flew corporate with one of the richest men in Mexico. He had about 60 companies.
Wow.
And as a matter of fact, they sold the company, telecommunication company, to USA. I flew with him several years, and I have the opportunity to fly with one of the president of Mexico.
Yeah. Wow.
After that, I started flying in Mexican Airlines.
Wasn't President Fox, was it?
No. Was the president in 1970, the president of Mexico, was Luis Echeverria.
Okay.
I flew in the crew.
What type of airplane did you use for that
presidential
flights?
They have a different kind of planes in the group, and there was a called the group of transportation for the president, and I flew Icelanders and a DH-125.
The Havilland aircraft?
Yeah, F-27, depends on the flight, depends on the mission, and I was really like a co-pilot in some of those planes, you know, that
But eventually, you went over with Mexicana, and then you flew line captain and also as an instructor pilot for them.
Yes, I flew. I started at Mexicana like a co-pilot, then be a captain, and then 2 years later, I became instructor. Then after instructor, I became a supervisor, check airman, and teaching the classroom and simulator and finally checking pilots.
Okay, very good. Yeah. Very good.
Amazing.
Hector, this is Steve Thompson.
Yes,
as Steve. As a great admirer of your country and a lover of your country.
Thank you.
My family and I have spent many, many fun trips there. Everything from the pink Jeeps in Acapulco to the silver mines and everything almost in between.
Las Brisas.
And what we hear coming from your country now, it saddens us all, I think.
Well, unfortunately, that's have ups and downs. You know, all the countries have that, and right now it's there. I hope they control the problems they have. But by the way, if you have a safe areas where you can go, you know, depends where you want to spend your time, and mainly it's like any tourist area. If you go to the places that were crowded and really for kind of this or kind of problems, yeah, I think you can enjoy, you still enjoy Mexico.
One of the stories that the things that happened to me, I flew with a captain, an Eastern captain. His name was Captain Ralph Pitts. A lot of Eastern pilots remember that name, Ralph Pitts. He flew in World War II and was shot down over Italy in a B-17. And his wife didn't know for 3 months that whether he was alive or dead. But he was a pilot with Eastern, and we used to fly together down to Mexico City. And Ralph would always bring a bag full of books. And he would take them to a leather binding company there in Mexico City and actually stamp the name of the title of the book on the front cover and then on the spine of the book. And it was like, $2 or $3 to do this entire process, to leather bind it and to gold stamp it. So there were some great, great deals in Mexico.
Well, I think there's still some people doing the handwork.
Yeah,
really good handwork. That's still the traditional, like you are talking about.
And Steve, do you remember the beautiful subway system that they had there?
Yes, I sure do. I really do remember that. Yes.
Very advanced and a lot different than New York City's.
Yes, it was, and much safer.
Yeah.
Well, the French did that, built that, but the subway, and I mean, they have a different transportation now. They have, but there's the standing that kind of services.
We have I don't know how about now because of the situation there in Mexico, but we had a lot of Americans that had homes there in Mexico City, and.
Well, if you live in an area south of Mexico or in the, like San Angel, Coyoacán, there are safe areas. They didn't have any problem, you know. The problems came up with some areas with crowded areas in like a kind of barriers you call them out. But it's like if you go to New York, you know, you have to be in the safe area always.
Yeah, right.
You know? Yeah, that's
exactly
the point.
Yeah, I think what I enjoyed, well, I get the biggest kick out of it, so as we taxied out of our terminal and go down to the end of the runway, I think it was taken off to the east at 9 left, they had a bleachers where the local natives could sit, or the residents could sit and watch departures. I thought that was the coolest thing.
Well, one of the administrators at the airport, he did that. He put on at the end of the runway to watch the planes, mainly to take off from a 2-2-3 left the city,
yeah.
And you can see the planes taking off. Now it is history.
We have a caller, area code 516. Would you press number 1 on your phone, and you're connected. You're in. Yes, who's at 516?
Neil, it's Bill Hirsch.
Hey, Bill Hirsch, how is everything over there on the... you're up in New York. I keep thinking that you're down here in Florida.
No, I'm up north. Listen, that was a good flight, but I just wanted to bring in that back in 65, I flew into Mexico with my mother and father. And I can remember on final approach when we were coming up to the runway, all the small airplanes that didn't make the runway laying out in the weeds. And when we took off, it was a hot day. And let me tell you, in that DC-8, we used a lot of runway.
Oh yeah, you did.
Was that the original, the 21 series, Bill?
Yeah, it was on the 21.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You didn't fly down during this charter that we just did.
No. We were on a regular flight out of New York.
Okay.
I remember going to the pyramids and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And seeing all those things. That was some trip.
Well, you know, just listening to Hector, I felt like I was right there. And,
yeah, I remembered a lot of the things he mentioned, seeing them.
Yeah, but all that food, we just didn't eat there tonight, did we? We didn't get a chance to go in and eat.
Well, it sounded
good. Yeah, but
good,
we only—I forget the hotel we stayed in. We stayed in the hotel that has that huge mural on the wall, and we ate there all the time. We didn't eat anywhere outside, and naturally, we didn't drink the water or eat the fruit. In those days, you didn't do that.
Perhaps was it Camino Real? This is in the Chapultepec area.
Yeah.
Yeah. Perhaps it was that.
This is Steve. I remember one of the most memorable trips I think I ever had was a 727 trip to Puerto Vallarta.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And we get there, and the Bonanza landed in front of us, gear up. And as we approached there, they said, okay, I'm sorry, you can't land because... there's a Bonanza sitting on the runway with the gear up, and there was just no place for us to touch down. Said, okay, you got to go to Mazatlan. So we turned to the southeast, and we've got our radar on, and we get close to the airport of Mazatlan, and there is a huge, big cell, red cell, right over the airport. So we can't go there. Now, the only other option we have is go to Guadalajara. So we get to Guadalajara, and as I remember, we were landing to the west, and they said, I'm sorry, you've got to go around because there's an airplane that was landing in front of you and didn't clear. I said, sorry, we're landing. We land, and we get to the terminal building. We have 3,000 pounds of fuel on that 727.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But you made it to the gate, right?
We did, yes.
Listen, Neil, I got to run. It was good talking to you, and I definitely will be on next week when Floyd's on because I've become very good friends with him, and hope to get to talk to him again.
Okay, one thing, Bill, before you leave. I did find those slides, and I've got them sitting here. I've just got to box them and send them over to you.
Oh, okay, I appreciate that. Did you get the check?
I'm not certain. Peggy may have gotten it. She records it.
Thank
you. We probably did. But thanks a lot for all that you do. We appreciate it, Bill.
Okay, Neil. I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Take care.
The check is in the mail.
Yeah. I remember
Hector,
the first time.
Hector, this is Jim in Palm Beach, Florida.
Yes.
A question for you. I remembered so many times during the Massey Ferguson move, I was in a hotel downtown And as I walked in the front door, I had to actually go downhill. It was about a 20-degree slope toward the desk. Is that hotel still there? It was sinking. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that, but I think after 1985, the downtown started to change a lot, you know, because there was the big earthquake.
Maria Isabel was really rattled by that earthquake.
As a matter of fact, I had that day I had a flight from Mexico City to L.A., and I went to the runway, and I was the first plane taking off that day, and I have to go taxi all the runway to check if there wasn't any cracks.
Really?
And then I came back, and I took off from there, and then when I turned right to the city over the city, I saw fires, and then I arrived to L.A. was the first plane arrived after the earthquake in the United States. And the people tried to protect us, the crew members, and they took us from some different way. But by the way, the TV caught us taking the taxi, and they asked about what was the problem in Mexico. Well, it was terrible because I saw a couple explosions when we were taking off.
There were a lot of people killed in that,
yeah,
too, weren't there?
Yeah. Amazing. I remember the first time I went into Mexico City, I was in a Bach 111, and we landed pretty fast, and I think we landed at long-range cruise.
Yeah.
But it was the visibility was pretty, you know, pretty lousy that day, so you never saw the mountains around it.
Yeah.
Of course, we laid over, get up the next day, and we had a day to kill in Mexico City. When I saw those mountains, I became weak in the knees.
Because
any mistake could have put us into one of them, and we would have never known they were there.
Well, before they existed, the windshield detectors, we used to land in Mexico, and every pilot that landed in Mexico knew about windshield.
Yeah.
Because if you land from the city to the runway, I had experience to land a 727 with a full power.
Yeah.
Touching the runway with
wow.
the full power because the sinking of
sink rate.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'll never forget the takeoff. Then we came back to the States. He put the flaps in almost a flaps up takeoff. He didn't have much flap out there. But we rolled and we rolled and we rolled. I could have eaten a crew meal,
yeah.
Set it down and rotated and still, you know, been able to fly at that time. It was the longest takeoff run I've ever done.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. It's nice sharing your thoughts and your experiences in Mexico, and great having you on the last two shows, this show and the last show, and we hope also to have some more shows. Do we have another caller? We have area code 317. Open the mic and see if
you'd like to talk there, 317, press 1 on your phone.
Okay, area code 317, are you there? Okay, I want to talk a little bit about next week's show, and we have a couple of more announcements, but I talked with Mr. Floyd Hall today, and he's doing well. He is bedridden. He is approaching 96 years of age, and he was in a very talkative mood today. He was really happy to hear about Eastern and the radio show, and we talked a little bit about the ghost of 401. Reminded him that I was going to remind him to make sure that he listens to the Discovery Channel when it finally does come on the air, I think sometime in the spring, about the show that was done by William Shatner. And he said, oh, yes. He said, I remember that real well, the experiences Eastern had about the ghost showing up on the airplanes. And, of course, the board of directors would come to him, and I think he was the chairman of the board at that time. He was the president of Eastern when 401 went into the Everglades. But he said that the directors were very concerned about the bad image that was getting out about Eastern and the flight crew seeing ghosts on the airplanes. And so he, I think, gave the responsibility of trying to reduce that? In other words, they were calling them into the office, say, hey, listen, we don't need any more ghost stories. But I think Frank Borman did a lot of that type of interception of those ghost stories. But he's going to be with us next week, and we're going to try to hook up with his telephone at about 10 minutes after 7 or 7:15, somewhere around there. And we're inviting everyone to come online that we can take a question that you'd like to ask Mr. Hall. And I think he looks forward to doing that with us on our next show. So we'll be happy to
have him. I have a question, Neil.
Yeah.
Does he have the ability to read typed messages or emails or something like that in advance?
Oh, yeah. We have. As a matter of fact, that'd be a good idea. Yeah, he can do that, Steve. You just brought to mind something. He can't really physically use the computer anymore, and so we have recorded all, as Margaret at the beginning of the show said, that we have recorded all of our episodes now, and on one disc, that's 4 hours of recording. I told Mr. Hall that he was going to receive the very first disc, and I'm going to make a special label for him when we send it out. And he's looking forward to getting that because he has a DVD CD player. So he'll be able to listen to the entire 54 hours if he can stay awake. Of course, I think he's just going to enjoy. I hope he'll enjoy it. But he'll hear his name mentioned several times. But what do you have in mind, Steve?
Well, I was going to suggest that we maybe submit some written questions to him in advance that you can edit and pass along to him so that he may be prepared ahead of time that when we ask those questions that he has already read, that he will have good, comfortable answers that he has already thought out for. So we could maybe submit some questions to you in advance that you could get to him and let him think about before the show.
That's a good idea. Yeah, if you guys want to submit to me and I'll get it to him, when I send out my CD that I'm going to send him, hopefully I'll probably do it tomorrow or the next day. But Mr. Hall was responsible for so many things with Eastern. I mean, even the 727, he was president when we ordered the first 727. Went to Eastern Airlines from Boeing. We were the first users of that airplane. The DC-9, the L-1011, all of those are airplanes that were on his watch. So there were so many things that he was responsible for. If we just, kind of reach back in the memory, the music, the commercials, the television commercials, there were so many things that he was really responsible for.
And he was, in my view, he was probably the most, besides Eddie Rickenbacker, the most revered CEO and president and chairman that I had in my 30-plus career years with Eastern Airlines. And there were some folks around him that don't hold that same regard in my mind.
A lot of folks don't realize, and I think he likes to talk about more about his before Eastern days, because as you know, he was a captain with TWA, and before that, he asked me. He says, "Neil, he says, do you remember a captain in Atlanta? And his name was Perry." And he says, "I couldn't remember his last name. I can't remember his last name." I said, "You're talking about Perry Hudson, chief pilot." He said, "Yes, Perry Hudson." He said, "How is he doing?" Of course, Perry died about 10 years ago. And I told him about that. And Miriam, his wife, Perry's wife, died about 4 years ago. But Floyd and Perry Hudson were flight instructors back in the 30s, the Army Air Corps. And his flying time really dates way back, way back.
Did he not hold a very top position in Alpha? At least I think he was probably the MEC chairman at TWA, if not a higher position in National.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's really how he came. I'm not certain about that, Steve, but I seem like I recall something about him being with the Airline Pilots Association before moving into management. But I think it'll be a very interesting show. Jim Hart, you said that you have information on one of the pilots down in your EARA chapter?
Yes. Unfortunately, Captain Sam Burton passed away a couple of days ago. His funeral is this coming Wednesday. But Captain Sam used to attend just about every one of our chapter meetings. And, in fact, he was at last month's chapter meeting, which was on the third Thursday. And his daughter, Debbie, accompanied him. And we could all see that he needed a little bit more attention than previously. Now, Captain Sam had... Hello?
Yeah.
Captain Sam had four children, three daughters and a son. Each one of the daughters, Debbie, Diane, I can't think of the name of the other one, all were flight attendants for Eastern, and his son presently flies for Northwest. A totally committed airline family. Sam invited, in fact, our entire chapter to his 85th and his 90th birthdays, each one held in beautiful restaurants in the area. And, of course, he was at our Christmas function this last December. We have a December Christmas party, usually the first part of December. But he used to tell me, we would sit and talk for hours about his military experience. And he, in fact, received many accolades from the Chinese government, as well as a number of generals that he ended up ferrying while he was over there. But can you imagine flying the hump and in a C-47 and having no navigational aids? They would use the roads, the railroad tracks, and so on to give them direction. It was just unbelievable. And the one big thing that I remember, Captain Sam's dad had a prize bowl. And Captain Sam, they were from, I think, Tennessee or Arkansas, and Captain Sam wanted to take some flying lessons, and his father sold his prize bowl to get the money for Captain Sam to take flying lessons. And before he entered the military, he had a number of flying hours, and he did not disclose that to some of his instructors, and when he got them up in the air, he showed them what he could do. It was funny.
Yeah, very, very, very interesting, really. And he was 96, did you say? 93, yeah. Golly. Now, your chapter meeting there is what, the 19th?
Actually, it was supposed to be this coming Thursday. However, one of our past presidents, Beverly Bennis, is having a special luncheon at her place. It's called the Classic. It's a residence for retired people. She's had us there once or twice before, but instead of going to our regular meeting place on Thursday, we're going to cancel that meeting, and next Tuesday at noontime, we will be at the Classic in West Palm Beach. It's a beautiful place, and they serve us a wonderful luncheon, a free luncheon at that.
Okay, very good. Jan, just a side note, were you up in New York? Seems like to me, I want to say you were at Rockefeller Center. You weren't. Where were you stationed?
I was in Rockefeller Plaza, in Rockefeller, 10 Rock Plaza, back in 67.
Okay,
think it was
well.
December 67. Floyd Hall was there, I believe, at that time.
Yeah,
and
he
then we moved down to Miami in August of 72.
Okay.
I was in consumer affairs.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Floyd Hall came in 1963 to East and left in 1978. So I think he had about 15 years of service.
Right. And he was just a magnificent person.
Yeah.
He was,
yeah.
Just Lucifer to lead us the way he had.
Neil, and, I'm going to ask President Hall about the executive limousine service that we used to have at Ten Rock. I was privy to using the service myself. We even had a telephone in the car, and there was a fellow who was coordinating, and his name was Lino Ponzini, and Lino and I had had desks on the on a certain part of Ten Rockefeller Plaza. We were sort of by ourselves, but it was a service that was unbelievable. We didn't advertise it, but it was for executives. We would send the car for executives from, you know, from a large corporation, pick them up and take them to the airport.
Mm-hmm. Jim, I remember those days.
Yes, Jim.
That was going on.
Right.
And Bill, you had some connections too with Mr. Hall, didn't you?
Well, don't forget, Mr. Hall is born and bred and educated in Colorado.
Okay.
He's from Lamar, Colorado, went to the University of Colorado in Boulder.
All right. Well, let's remind him of that next week.
And I think this, Neil, I think Steve is going to be really surprised at how accurate and articulate he is at his age.
Yeah.
Once
he gets talking, it's really good to just listen to him. And
that's right.
Very interesting man still at his age. So, folks, that's about all the time we have for tonight's show. And we'd like to thank you, our listeners and Radio Club members, for dialing us in. We'll be back with you next week, same time, same station. Don't forget, our station is www.ealradioshow.com. And like the old commercial for Dodge Automobiles, we've had a good time, too. Next week, we hope you'll once again fly Eastern Radio as we bring you the sounds of special music from a former Eastern employee. That's a special mystery guest. We also, we've talked about having Mr. Floyd Hall with us in our next episode. And so be sure to tune in and call in at 7 p.m. And Margaret has a reminder.
Well, I just wanted to say that since tomorrow is February 14th, I would like very much to wish a very special happy Valentine's Day to President Floyd Hall. And so I hope he hears that. And excuse me, Luann wants to say something. She's always interrupting me. Hey, Margaret, listen, I wanted to say to Captain Hector, you know, and I'm going to say it in Spanish the way we say it in Kentucky. Feliz Dia de San Valentín.
Muchas gracias.
Now, what did she say in Kentuckyese?
I think she was saying Happy Valentine's Day, but I'm not sure.
That's excellent Spanish.
Was that good for her?
That's good.
Okay. And by the way, to all the co-hosts, I wish a very happy Valentine's Day to all of you.
And Bud has a song he wants to sing for us tonight. Roses are
red, my love. Violets are blue. Sugar is sweet, my love, but not as sweet as.
From all the gang here at our studio and remote locations, we'll all say right now, good night, Eastman.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, Eastman family. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Louis.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.